This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm superstar Frank Morano. Thank you for listening. There are a whole lot of things in society that are overrated. Am I right? Right? I mean, let's be honest. We could do just a whole hour on this, which we're not going to do, so please don't call. But let's be honest. Caviar. Is caviar that great? No. It's not. It's not. Caviar is overrated. It's overrated. Trying to think what else. You know, very expensive coffee. A lot of these coffees that people spend all this money on, oh, making a big deal. I find it's overrated. Absolutely overrated. There's a lot of other things that I think are way overrated. Maybe I feel this way because I'm not a car guy. And I'm sure you may disagree. I find luxury cars tremendously overrated. Sure, you know, they may offer comfort and style, but the price that you're paying, double the car that I'm driving, not worth it. No, thank you. One thing that I have totally bought into the hype, though, and I do not think is at all overrated, is flying first class. I believe I've only flown first class once, maybe twice, but the one memorable time is I went to England with my mom as a child. We were seeing friends of ours that lived out there, our old neighbors, and we got bumped. And I don't remember the circumstances, but we got bumped and they had to put us on the next flight and they put us in first class. Now, part of what was so great about it is it's a big, long flight out to London. So it's not like you're in first class for 4 or 5 hours. You are in first class for, you know, however long that flight is, a good port of, you know, 9, 10 hours, whatever it is. So you get that VIP treatment. And this was when I was a child, before I could drink or anything. I have to think the whole first class experience now as somebody that would be able to drink alcohol and stuff, it's got to be really much better. So I do think first class makes a difference. Okay. Do children appreciate first class? Should children fly first class? There is a British singer by the name of Lily Allen. In essence, you know, I'm so out of touch. I don't know who any of these singers are. I don't even know who the American singers are. Do you guys know who Lily Allen is? Either of you?
I've never heard of her.
No, neither of you. Okay, good. So I don't feel totally.
I've heard of her, but I couldn't name a song.
Well, okay. So maybe she's one of these people that's famous for something. You know, the two best examples I always point to are George Hamilton and John Legend. Every single person alive can tell you that George Hamilton is an actor. There's not a person alive without looking it up that could tell you 3 movies that George Hamilton was in. Everyone knows Love at First Bite. They know Godfather 3, and then it's tough. It's tough finding another one. I know a couple more because I'm a student of George Hamilton, but the average person on the street, they know George Hamilton's an actor. They don't know why he's famous. I mean, in terms of movies. Another guy, John Legend. Who's John Legend? Oh, he's a singer. He's a great singer. Hey, name three of his songs. Oh, like, well, I can't remember it at the moment. So maybe Lily Allen is like that. Everyone knows that she's a singer, but nobody can tell you any of the songs that she sang. So she has weighed in on an age-old airline debate, saying she flies first class. Are you ready for this? But her children go coach. Now, who would do this? I was telling my wife about this, and she thought it was outrageous. So Lily Allen was speaking to her co-host and friend, Makita Oliver, on the latest episode of her podcast, Miss Me. Miss Me? Actually, it's a question mark. Miss Me? Question mark? By the way, is there anybody that doesn't have a podcast? You know, I ran into somebody, an old friend of mine that I used to work with many years ago in the radio business, and I think he's still in the radio business, but he said, you know, it used to be a big thing. All these radio stations would make a lot of money selling block programming on the weekend to people that fancied themselves as the next Rush Limbaugh or Howard Stern or to infomercials. And he said, you know, the block programming business is dead because everyone's got a podcast. They don't feel like they need to be on radio to reach people. They just start a podcast. And I really do feel that way, that everyone in the world has some sort of a podcast. And apparently Lily Allen is no exception. She said she's happy to send her kids to economy class while she takes a seat in first class. The singer, I'm going to play you a portion of what she said here. The singer has two daughters, Ethel, 13, and Marnie, 11. And they all live in New York with her husband, actor David Harbour. Here's Lily Allen on this podcast.
We are flying to London today to come and see you for your birthday, me and that bebe. I'm going in first class. She's going in economy.
Wow. Merry Christmas to Ethel.
You know what that is?
Selfish?
The circle of life.
Oh, okay.
You know, as I'm thinking about this, you know what makes it so much worse is that they're laughing through all this. It really does. It really does. Oh, those kids, they'll be in economy. We'll be in first class laughing it up. 800-848-9222.
You better watch that, because that's what happened in Home Alone. They flew first class and they left Kevin at home because all the kids were left in coach.
That's funny. Here's Lily Allen. Oh, is that what they did?
Quite often, when you're like a big group, the airline will separate the seats. I don't know why they do it, but like you'll get to the airport and they'll be like, your child's sitting over here and this. And so when you get on the plane, you then have to like ask people if they don't mind moving so that you can sit next to your children. And obviously it's very inconvenient for everybody involved, but I just find it like fascinating that it's now become like something that gives you clout on social media when you're like, a mum came up to me and asked me to move and I told them to fuck off. And you're like...
Well, I don't want to be that person.
Is this what we've become? Okay. Well done. Slow clap. You made a family have to sit apart from each other. And they're like, as if I was giving up my 1A seat for these kids.
Well, on the second one, I completely agree with her. I think if you're a passenger on an airplane, you know, unless there's a big downgrade in the quality of the seat, for instance, going from an aisle seat to a middle seat, I think if it's all the same and you can accommodate a family staying together, why wouldn't you? Right. I mean, why wouldn't you? What do you, if the plane goes down, you're going down too. But I do have to tell you, I found her remarks about flying in first class while she sends her kids to coach so mean-spirited. Now, maybe I just view things differently. But I would want my child or children, if I had multiple, to have a better experience than I had. I mean, and I feel like that's how my mom would always be, is that they sacrifice, you as a parent sacrifice in order for your child to be better off. Now, again, we're talking about an airplane here. Maybe a child can't experience the amenities of first class the same way an adult can. I mentioned the aspect that I couldn't appreciate necessarily as a child, which is alcohol. But it's still, I mean, I don't know why you'd want to be separated from your child. Maybe you don't want to pay for the two of them to have the first class ticket that you're getting. Is that what that is? I just, I would rather be in economy with my child rather than have them be there by themselves and me in first class. I found it really bizarre. Now, I'm trying to, I always try to look at every one of these stories from every perspective. And I know that we're in this era now where parents tend to coddle their children, spoil their children, give their children everything they want. And maybe there's something to be said for, you know, letting the person who earned the money to buy these plane tickets fly in first class while the children get to fly, go on a great experience, go on a great trip, go on a great vacation or wherever else, but they don't get to fly in first class. Maybe there is. It's, but, you know, this is nowhere near the situation that Kristi Noem was in, but I feel like the way she's volunteering this information, she wasn't asked about it, she volunteered it. The way that she's volunteering this information and the way that she, listen to how she gleefully describes how she's going in first class, but her baby's going in economy.
We are flying to London today to come and see you for your birthday, me and that bebe. I'm going in first class. She's going in economy.
Wow. Merry Christmas to Ethel. You know what that is?
Selfish?
The circle of life.
Oh, okay.
The circle of life. Yeah. You know what? The fact that they do this wouldn't even bother me, but for the fact that they're laughing like hyenas.
How old are the kids, Frank?
13 and 11.
Okay.
Well, how does that affect your view?
I mean, they're teenagers. They probably want to fly, not fly. Sit with their mother anyway. You know, they're in their own little zone.
You don't think it's a big deal?
Not they're teenagers. No,
no. Okay.
You know, they were young. I would have a problem. Well, like if they were Carmine's age, yeah, okay. I would have a problem. But 11 and 13, they have their own agenda.
All right. Okay. Maybe Tony's right. You know, Matt Blaze pointed out the scene in Home Alone where the parents flew first class and all the kids were in coach.
Don't you feel like a heel flying first class with all the kids back in coach?
I forgot this.
No, the kids are fine. The only flying I ever did as a kid was in the family station wagon. It wasn't to France.
See, you know, okay, all right. What do you think? 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222.
A question. Since before your sun burned hot in space, and before your race was born, I have awaited a question.
Let me know what you think. 800-848-9222. I wouldn't want to be separated from, you know, to Tony's point, though. Okay. Teenage girls, especially, maybe they don't want to sit with their mom, but I kind of think they would want to sit in first class. 800-848-9222.
But they can't enjoy.
Yeah.
Where me, you, and Matt will enjoy it because they're underage. They're not going to be able to have any alcohol. So like, what's the purpose?
Yep. Yep. Well, I remember the Seinfeld episode where Elaine and Jerry end up going, they have two seats available and they only have one first class ticket. And Jerry says, I'll take the first class. And then Elaine says, why do you get the first class? And he says, have you ever flown first class? No. Well, you don't know what you're missing. I've flown first class. I can't go back to coach. Maybe it's the same with these kids, right? They don't know what they're missing. They don't know how great it is. Yeah, it just does seem, as the Home Alone mom said, like you're being a little bit of a heel.
Don't you feel like a heel flying first class with all the kids back in coach?
No, the kids are fine. The only flying I ever did as a kid was in the family station wagon. It wasn't to France.
Again, though, what gets me is this laughing.
We are flying to London today to come and see you for your birthday, me and that bebe. I'm going in first class. She's going in economy.
I mean, listen,
Wow. Merry Christmas to Ethel. You know what
that's
that
your
is?
Daughter, Ethel.
Selfish?
The circle of life.
Oh, okay.
All right. What do you think? I mean, Tony has me thinking maybe I judged the singer that I'd never heard of a little too harshly. Steve in Baltimore, hi.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. Hey, so first of all, I agree with you. I would never treat my children like that. I would always just be with them. Who needs first class? I don't, you know, but
I need first class, but I still would feel bad if I'm going in first class while my son or children are sitting in coach or in steerage.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I agree with you. But I have a funny story. So one time we were flying home from Florida, and this person at the airport approaches us and says, you know, we have a problem. For some reason, you guys have been assigned to the emergency exit row, and you have children. You know, you have children. That's not allowed, FAA regulations. So they said, we're going to go on board. We're going to see if some people switch because we can't do this. We can't have you in that aisle. So about 5 minutes later, she comes back out and says, yeah, we got a problem. Nobody will switch. And we're like, well, what are we going to do? You know, we have to fly home. She says, okay, well, all four of you go to first class.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so all four of us got to fly home first class. And, you know, my daughters were so small that they actually fit in one seat together. And, yeah, it was great. It was great. We flew home first class just because nobody would give up their seats for us, you know, so.
Wow. Well, that worked out well for your point of view. Wow. Good for you, Steve. That's a great story.
Yeah, it was such a treat. Yeah, oh, such a treat.
Oh, my goodness. But. Absolutely. That's outstanding. 800-848-9222. Janice in Brooklyn, what do you think?
Hi, Frank. My husband used to work for the airlines, so when we flew, we didn't have to pay. Most of the time we got into coach, but one time we made it into first class, and it was on the plane that had a spiral staircase that went up to a lounge.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, it was a fancy, fancy plane. Well, on that flight, if you, the food was, they were getting crab legs. This was a long time ago when first class was first class. And if you wanted prime ribs, they rolled a cart down the aisle and cut it right in front of you. So it was a great experience. But I certainly wouldn't separate my children from me if I... I'm sure she's doing it because she doesn't want to pay the outrageous price for first class.
Well,
you can't drink when you're a kid.
Right. Well, so what about that? Let me play devil's advocate, Janice, because I don't think... Not only do I not think that I would do this for my child, but I know that I wouldn't be cackling and laughing about it if I did do that. But let me ask you, a lot of folks are going to say, look, a big part of the first class experience is the comfort, the luxury, and, you know, getting those nice adult beverages. Children are smaller. They don't need as much leg room, and they're not able to drink alcohol anyway. So is a ticket where you're going to be spending all that money for a first class ticket for a child, is it wasted on them?
Yeah, I think it is, definitely. You know, the thing about first class that gets me is that when you board a plane, you have to pass through first class. And to me, I don't know, I wouldn't want people looking down, you know, oh, there's a seat and stuff like that. I think they should change that somehow, where you come in through the back or something.
Well, I got
something else.
Sorry, go ahead.
That you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
My child, when she was 15 months old, sitting in a carriage outside the house, the ice cream man came, my neighbor went into his pocket, got a handful of coins, and was giving, you know, telling my older children to take money. She grabbed money out of his hand and put it in her mouth.
Oh, boy.
And so we didn't know if really she swallowed something or not. But we thought maybe she did because I saw her take a big gulp. So that was at night. In the morning, I called the doctor up, and this is what the doctor told me. Did you call the doctor up?
What? That's what she told you? Did you call the doctor up?
No, well, I'll tell you what the doctor told me. He said, this is what I had to do. Because she was still in diapers, I had to go through her stool every time she had a movement to see if that penny came out, because he said, most likely it will, but if it doesn't, it can pose a definite problem.
Oh, no.
I didn't know if she swallowed it, but in the morning when she had a bowel movement, her stool was green. So that's how I knew she swallowed it.
Mm.
So it went on for a couple of days, and finally, I found it, and that was the end of the story.
Well, I'm glad that that had a happy ending, Janice. Thank you. It's something to look forward to. For us today, we'll be hoping we'll be a penny richer after we change Carmine's diaper this morning. Yeah, I mean, I did do a lot of research on this after my wife mentioned this, and apparently it's relatively common, and they do pass it. So there's that. All right, 800, as long as they're not, you know, vomiting and drooling and things like that, you could usually avoid a trip to the emergency room. All right, 800-848-9222. Ed is in Westchester. Hi, Ed.
Frank, my friend, you are experiencing freshman parent syndrome as far as the airplane ride with the kids in the first class. So when you have your first kid, it's you and Carmine and you, your buddies, your pals. You want to spend all your time with Carmine. He wants to spend all his time with you. Once the additional kids come and they start bickering and they start fighting and they gang up on you, that's when it's a pleasure to be in first class and dump them in coach, my friend. You may see that. I have three kids, twins and the older kid, and I was the best friend with the older kid. When the twins came along, it was torture, Frank. Torture,
that's,
I tell
that's
you.
Very funny, Ed. That's very funny, Ed. Thank you. You know, it's funny. Carmine was acting up a little bit at church after the yay incident. He's crying, and I take him out. And, you know, we go outside for a while. He's walking around. Then he calms down. After he calms down, stops crying, we go back inside. And then a little later, he starts crying again. And one of the other gentlemen, I think his name is Rick or Ralph. One of the other gentlemen, he has some cookies. And he hands me a packet of cookies. My son calms down immediately. Now, it's a great, really a great joy whenever, you know, at 2 years old, Carmine says, I love you. Really, I love you, Daddy. Love you, Mommy. It's really wonderful. However, you really do feel a lot less special when he extends that to others. So after he calms down, he's eaten these cookies in church that this stranger gave him. And not a stranger. I mean, we've seen him there before. But I honestly, I'm not even certain of his name. He's eating these cookies, and then he sees that same man that gave him these cookies. And he shouts to him, and I don't think the man heard him, but he shouts to him, thank you for the cookies. And then he says, unsolicited, he says, keep him up. We don't know this guy's name. Haven't told Carmine this guy's name. He says, I love you, man. That's all he's saying. He doesn't even know the guy's name. He's saying, I love you, man, with the same enthusiasm that he says, I love you, Daddy. So all of a sudden, it becomes a little bit less special. 800-848-9222. Norman is in Brooklyn. Hi, Norman.
That is the cutest story I ever heard, Frank.
Well, thank you.
Okay, listen, Lily Allen sounds like a bit of a child herself, but those kids should be with her. Whatever class you go, you travel in the same class as your kids. That's my opinion. And second thing, Frank, you gotta give caviar another shot, man. That stuff is the best.
No,
it's like an orgasm in your mouth.
What, Norman? Norman, I think you're way exaggerating. I mean, it's fine. It's fine. I have dishes with caviar.
Beluga?
I don't know that I've had beluga. Is it really that great?
You gotta have beluga, man. Listen. You're not Eastern European. My father was from Ukraine. I grew up with this stuff. I mean, rarely, but we did have it. It is incredible. I mean, that and vodka, the whole experience, the ice cold vodka, the on the cracker with a little bit of egg right. sometimes.
Right. I've had it. I go to a lot, you know, I've gone to different places that do this. I find it way too salty. Honestly, you don't find it salty?
You didn't have the good stuff. The okay. good stuff, man. The stuff that's like $400 for a little bit of it. That stuff is incredible.
I can't countenance paying $400 for a little bit of it. Thank you, Norman. You know, my mom took me on a cruise when I was a child. I must have been, I don't know, 9 years old, 10 years old. And I didn't even know what caviar was. And I'm at the buffet on the cruise ship, and they have this big, big, you know, plate of caviar. And I see everybody putting spoonfuls of it on their plate. So I take a spoonful of it, not even really knowing what it is. And I take a spoonful of it, big gulp of it into my mouth. I thought it was the most revolting thing I'd ever tried in my entire life. Now, since then, I mean, I shouldn't have had that big gulp of it, having never tried it before. Since then, I've tried it many more times. And it's fine. It's good. I just think it's not worth the hype. That's the only thing I was trying to say. All right. Gnome Laden is here. Those of you that are holding, I'll make an effort to get to you in a bit. 800-848-9222 if you want to jump on board with anything we are talking about. Gnome Laden has got some news that you need to be aware of straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Born before the wind, also younger than the sun. Yeah, the bonnie boat was won as we sail into the mystic. I can now hear the sailors cry. Smell the sea.
Van Morrison singing Into the Mystic, a birthday bumper music selection from Katie Magliocca. Happy birthday, Katie. A friend of mine who is a very big Van Morrison fan and also quite an accomplished newsman has just wandered into the studio, the one and only.
Stand by for the Other Side of Midnight's news.
City, the Other Side of Midnight, and its affiliated stations present national and international news with Frank Morano and news director Noam Layden. Their summary of the world news and personal comments. Get the rest of the story.
What do you got, Noam?
Good morning, Frank. NBC is trying to figure out how they're going to get people to watch the Olympics again. If you've noticed over the last decade or so, the audiences for the Olympics have shrunk. I mean, almost, it really almost feels like not a whole lot of people are watching it in the way they used to.
When are the Olympics?
They begin July 26th.
And this is the Summer Olympics.
Summer Olympics in Paris. Okay. Yeah. So it's another event, and they're trying to figure out how do we get the audiences in, because the networks pay just huge amounts of money for the rights to show the Olympics. And NBC did that. And it's, of course, it's a hopeful, they hope to sort of promote their other programs while showing off the Olympics. That's a big part of it. They don't make, in the end, they don't make a whole lot of money. And sometimes they lose money on it, but it's all about promotion for the network itself. The whole idea of networks is sort of going a different way because of streaming. Mm-hmm. So it's an odd time in the TV world. So why not try something just totally different? And now we're getting confirmation on something we had heard about a month ago, that the people who will be doing the Olympics are not your typical sports people. They've hired Kelly Clarkson, Snoop Dogg, Jimmy Fallon, Peyton Manning. They will be doing the opening games on July 26th, the opening ceremonies, which, interestingly enough, will not be in a stadium, but they'll be on a river. It'll be the all the teams will come in on boats on this river. So that's something different.
Sure.
They're just trying anything to sort of get the audience in. So the idea is they think Kelly Clarkson will bring the women in. Peyton Manning will bring the sports fan, Snoop Dogg, the rappers, you know, Jimmy Fallon, the late night crew, young crew, to watch the Olympics. They'll do the opening and the closing games. The Today Show hosts who normally are involved, they'll be involved. Savannah Guthrie, Hoda Kotb will be involved in some of the coverage. So some of what they'll do is they have an executive producer who has given a couple different interviews where she says, if the events get boring, they will pull away from them, which they've never done before. So if it's uninteresting, yank the coverage, move to something else. Now, the main coverage, of course, is on the NBC channel. They also use their other channels, Bravo and the other channels they own, to show other events. But if the events are boring, they're going to yank them very quickly. Also, what they're doing this year, they are going to put heart monitors on the spectators. So if your kid is in an event, they will put a heart monitor on you so the fans can watch how you react to your kid involved in an event. So if your kid's in a track and field event and you're in the stadium and you agree to this, NBC will put a heart monitor on you. And part of the screen will be split and you'll be able to see the parent, the loved one, the spouse, and see how their heart responds to the event. I don't know. That sounds interesting to me, but it's something. It's
mildly. I'm more interested in seeing this now. Yeah, okay.
The whole idea of the Olympics, too, in past years, long before we became internet obsessed and staring at our phones, was that it was this communal watching event, which, of course, is really kind of gone, minus the Super Bowl and a couple other events. NBC wants to bring that back as well. So they've made a deal with about 150 IMAX movie theaters across the country and AMC theaters. And so they will do opening ceremonies, some of the bigger events. You can pay to go watch them on the big screen with other people inside a movie theater. They think this will be hugely successful. They think they'll make some serious money on this. So the big ones will be the opening ceremonies and the closing ceremonies, because those are the most watched events of the Olympics. You can sit in an IMAX theater or a regular AMC theater, pay for it, and watch it with other people.
Well, I'm very skeptical of that approach. You know, I don't know how many people are going to pay to participate in this communal watching event when you can watch the games for free at home.
Right.
But, you know, I guess that could be said of any film that comes out in theaters and is available on streaming at the same time. I mean, I guess the difference with streaming is you at least have to pay for the streaming service. NBC, you don't have to pay for. Everyone who has television gets that. I hope it works out well for them. I don't have much of a rooting interest in terms of whether a lot of people are watching the Olympics or not. I think there's something to be said for communal watching of something, right? And I like events where there's, and I talked about this a little bit at the time of WrestleMania, where you get the sense that there's a lot of people all watching the same thing at the same time. It's great to have a common frame of reference, because we're in this era, to your point about what's a network these days. It's not unusual for me to, and I would say this happens maybe once a week, where I will talk to someone and the subject of television will come up and they'll mention something as their favorite show that not only do I not watch, but I've never even heard of it.
Exactly.
And years ago, that would have been unheard of. Everybody was watching The Sopranos on Sunday night. Go back a few years before that, everyone was watching Seinfeld. A few more years before that, everyone was watching Ed Sullivan. That area, that degree of common reference is gone. Now, were we better off with three channels instead of 99,000? Of course not. But it was nice to be able to feel like you were part of a community where everyone at least agreed that the sky was blue, even if they didn't agree, you know, whether that was a good or a bad thing.
Right. We did have that communal moment just a couple of weeks ago with the solar eclipse.
Yeah, right. That's what I pointed out.
Yeah.
That's what I think was so cool about it. Right. It was that I said that, not the WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was way cooler than the actual solar eclipse itself was the fact that it was so communal, at least here on where we were. It was like, yeah, whatever. Okay.
Same could be said, I guess, for the earthquake, too.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So do you watch the Olympics?
You know, I'll probably tune in for a couple of events, but not in the way that we watched it 25 years ago.
You know what it is? It's the other thing that was big at the height of the Cold War was the extra drama between countries, you know, communism and you know, capitalism. Now, you know, it seems like the drama that's playing out on the world stage with countries like China, Russia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, to some extent, that drama doesn't translate the way, say, the Miracle on Ice did, you know, in that era.
Right. And there was a time where we would keep track of the Olympic medal count and be very proud that we were winning. Now, I couldn't tell you the last number of Olympics who won the most medals. And by the way, I could care less.
Right.
Maybe that's some of it, too. Have you been to a wedding with what is the hottest item at weddings now?
I just heard about this yesterday, and I am somebody that poo-poos all of this wedding stuff.
Right.
And I am an occasional wedding officiant. This sounds kind of cool.
It is called the Party Robot. I have not gone to one of these events Party Robot, but I'm now anxiously awaiting to be invited to one with a Party Robot, which is the hottest item at weddings this season. They run anywhere from about $500 to $1,200 an hour. It's not truly a robot. It is somebody who's on stilts dressed up in what looks like a robot and will get people out onto the dance floor. Also, some of these, depending on which party or which wedding you go to, it'll also serve you booze through like its fingers. It'll give you shots of alcohol. It also has a fog machine, some of them. And this has become the hottest item. Apparently, if you go to a wedding in the next couple months, there's a decent shot you'll run into one of these. The costumes, it started basically in Japan, this whole idea of these party robots. And there's a couple companies overseas that actually manufacture these costumes, which cost about $8,000 a piece. So you figure you do a couple of these parties, you have your money back, and then you start making some serious cash. Of course, you have to be somewhat of an athlete to be this party robot. There's one guy I was reading about who has done this at a number of parties. He said, you don't understand the physical strain he goes through having to dance for an entire hour or 2 hours, however long this wedding is, and then be the life of the party, dressed in a costume that weighs you down on stilts the entire time. But he says it is amazing to watch people who may never get on the dance floor. The minute this party robot comes out, it has lights, it's noises, it's making noises. It looks like what are those robots called in the cartoons of the kids? The
Transformers?
It looks like a Transformer. Yeah. Thank you. It looks like a Transformer. And people really respond to this. And so now the hard part is finding enough people to do this. There's been so many requests in the wedding season, especially coming in the fall. I think there's a good shot if you're invited to a wedding this fall that you will run into one of these party robots.
Well, let me say a couple things. One, with all of the human jobs that robots are taking, I'm glad that humans are finally taking some robot jobs. This is score one for us. Right. I'm happy to hear that there's a human that's masquerading as this robot.
Right there with you.
And, you know, this will probably be the thing that tips the scales of us going to war with the robots. They're not at all happy we're encroaching on their territory. And second, I think in 2 or 3 weeks, I'm attending Jeffrey Goldstein's wedding, and he lives not far from you. And if I know Jeffrey and his brother and his parents all, and I think his uncle all listen to this show, they would be well advised to consider this party robot before it becomes too trendy.
You got to do it right now.
Right now.
100%.
Because a year from now, forget about it.
No, everybody will have it. You'll be like, yeah, whatever. Exactly. Party robot, right. Big deal. By the way, can we just talk about this for a moment?
Yes.
I was in a grocery store. I won't say which one, but I was in a grocery store, and I have got to be honest, my wife does most of the shopping. But I was
You're
in
kidding.
The grocery store.
How different that is for me, who's slaving for hours over
the grocery store.
Over where the yogurt aisle is.
So, yeah, in fact, I'm so bad that my wife has to walk me through it if she wants me to get items because I have no idea or anything. Yeah. Isn't it just the deal we have? She likes shopping. Well, she claims to anyway, except when she complains about it. So I'm in one of these big grocery store chains, and there was a robot in there, walking, rolling around. Yeah, have you run into one of these? I had not seen this.
I've heard about it, but no, I haven't seen
and
it.
And so I said, okay, let me see what this is all about. So I asked where the black pepper was. And so he told me, and then proceeded to follow me to where the black pepper was, like three aisles down, following me the whole way to make sure that I got to the black pepper. I don't know, I found it a little annoying, actually.
But he helped you get your
he
thing.
He did. I was okay. able to get the black pepper, thank you, to the robot. But yeah, it was just an odd moment. One last story. We had told you about this story a couple months ago. You might remember auto brewery syndrome. This is this syndrome where people have something about the way their gut manufactures and digests food. It turns it into beer. And so we had a couple examples of people who had lost their jobs because they thought these people were drunk on the job. In case, one case, it was a gym teacher in New Jersey who had this. And other teachers complained that he smelled like beer, and so they just assumed he was drunk on the job. They brought him. They ended up firing him because he tested positive for alcohol on his breath. He was able to then successfully bring a lawyer in and prove that, no, this is something that he has.
By the way, the people that have this, they're not inebriated, right?
Not at all.
Okay.
No, sometimes they will feel some of the effects you might feel from being drunk, but they're not drunk. Mm-hmm. And so now there's this, we have the latest example of this, which suggests that this is bigger than we initially thought. The thought was that maybe 25, 30 people in the world had this. Now the suggestion is there's a lot more people. A man in Belgium last week, he's pulled over for drunk driving. He takes he blows that test that you do, and he scores a high number that he's drunk behind the wheel. I don't know what the rules are in Belgium. I'd be the first one to tell you this. But he's back out on the streets at the end of the week, back in his car, speeding. He's pulled over. Same thing. They think he's drunk. They take the test. They prove that he is. Now he has brought this lawyer in, and they are now using the cases here in the U.S. to prove that, yes, he has the exact same thing. He said, I wasn't drinking. He said, in fact, I don't drink at all. And so now he will take his case to court to show that he has this auto brewery syndrome as well.
Well, I'm wishing him the best of luck. But I mean, honestly, if you have the syndrome, wouldn't you think that you would avoid speeding? I mean, why bring on that extra scrutiny?
That's a good question.
But I hope he's able to get the help that he needs. Now, before you leave, you brought to our, have you looked in the refrigerator in the kitchen today?
I have not.
Okay. Well, you will see that there's not one, but two containers of hummus in the refrigerator.
Okay.
One is unlabeled. It is the same type of container that was in there on Friday that went unmolested by me because I didn't want a repeat of the Chris Cameron incident. And I didn't touch it on Friday. Maybe the same hummus from Friday. I don't know. But it's, looks almost kind of homemade. Then, and if people don't know what we're talking about, this gentleman, Chris Cameron, had this hummus that was in the refrigerator. I thought it was leftovers from the Greek Independence Day party, and I ate it, and I must say it was delicious, but I felt bad because this was someone's.
It was his leftover lunch as well.
Right, and he was really looking forward to it. But so I didn't touch the one that was in there Friday, but I did vow to replace the hummus, which I did, brought in a container of hummus. Put Chris Cameron's name on it.
Oh, you did? I have to go look. Okay. Let's
go take a look because there's a post-it note on there that says, Chris Cameron, parenthesis, even though he normally doesn't adhere to the labeling protocol.
Wait, you wrote this all on the label that's in there? Okay.
Yes. So I would think, that poet Pete Townsend said that no one appreciates the power of a flame more than someone that's been burned. Someone that felt the sting of non-labeled hummus.
Right.
They would learn their lesson and not label, as Elias has. You know, Elias, he hasn't put a morsel in there that's unlabeled.
Now.
You know, exactly. Yeah. But Chris Cameron is still putting all right. this unlabeled food in there, but he's got his labeled hummus there as well.
Okay, so do you want me to point this out to him when I see him later today, or let him discover it on his own?
Well, it's up to you. Okay. Use your discretion.
I don't like to get involved in these things, as you know.
I could tell. Yeah. I could tell. You're very reluctant. But it's up to you, but I just want you to be aware.
Okay.
Because I wanted to close the loop on that story, since I did vow to replace that hummus. That hummus has been replaced. And unlike the existing hummus that's in there, who knows how long it's been in there, because some people adhere to labeling protocols and others don't. That hummus is labeled and in there.
This is a fascinating twist in the story, and I'm going to see if he notices it on his own.
Okay.
I will let you know. I'll report back, of course.
Film at 11.
And now you know the rest of the story.
All right, we're going to do 15 seconds of fame in just a moment. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight, straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Till the top of the hour. You know, I'm looking at this party robot, and more than a transformer, you know what it really looks like? It looks like the Cylons from Battlestar Galactica, which is really cool. The old school Cylons from the 1970s version, not the newer ones.
At your command.
And see, that's what this robot is missing. If they could add the sound effect of this party robot saying,
at your command.
Everyone in America would want this. That'd be phenomenal. All right. Hey, you know, we were going to talk to, speaking of aliens, the guy Giorgio from Ancient Aliens tomorrow, but I've just been informed he's got a bad cold and we have to reschedule. But I think Congressman Tim Burkett is going to be here tomorrow. So we are going to talk with him. That'll be interesting. Also, I have a few other things that I'm working on that you're going to be really into this week. All right. Without further ado, why don't we give you 15 seconds to say whatever you'd like as part of
The Other Side of Midnight. This is 15 Seconds of Fame.
Henry.
From inmate to exoneree to pro bono wrongful conviction attorney, read the Jeffrey Deskovic story at DeskovicFoundation.org, DeskovicFoundation.org.
Joe.
Yeah, the first class, Frank, is just a gimmick. The important thing is they find each other when they get off the plane, and she could give the daughters the difference of the price in cash to use as they want.
Russell.
Mutual of Omaha presents the Crispy Gnome Show. Man, not me next. I'm Crispy Gnome, and I approve this message.
Joe. Raji.
If the inebriated U.S. stop sending billions in aid to corrupt warring nations, every single homeless and poor veteran will benefit an extra $600 per month.
Marie.
Hi, everybody. One time my baby sister swallowed a dime. It took my mother 10 days to get all the pennies. She made change.
That's funny. Robert.
Watch your kids at bus stops, people. Youth Scouts Communist League members are grabbing kids at bus stops to take them away like cult members and indoctrinate them.
Ted.
Frank, get this straight. There's no travel between the stars. Therefore, there are no flying sorcerers. Thank you very much. God bless you. Be well.
All right. That slams the lid on things for today. Tomorrow, Congressman Tim Burkett and a whole lot more. Frank Moreno, good day.